Good morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. This morning we are going to be in Romans chapter 6. Romans is a great book. It has a lot of stuff in it and just phenomenal all that was written here. And verse 1, chapter 6, Romans, says, "What shall we say then?" And that's a question. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" There's the answer. The question is presented is, what shall we say then? Now, are we going to continue in sin that grace may abound? It said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? All right, now we're going to stop there for a minute. We're going to continue on in a little while with some of these verses. But the question comes up, you know, what about after you get saved? When you get saved, what is it about? What are we doing? What are we should we do? How should we proceed? We've got to live. You know, we're here on this earth and we're continuing to live in this earth. We're continuing to live in these old bodies. But, you know, we can infer from this that there was an inclination of these people at that time, early Christendom, that were saying, okay, well, we've accepted Christ. We can do whatever we want. And there's an attitude like that today in many people that, well, we're free to do whatever we want. And we're not under the law, so we can do all these things. But the question is asked here as a rhetorical question, one that everybody should know the answer to. And then the answer is given, and God forbid is a pretty strong answer of no, that's not what we should do. We should not continue in sin. We should not just say, okay, it's just fine. It's, you know, don't worry about it, because we're, under grace. And we are under grace, but we're not given that liberty just so that we can sin, so we can tell everybody, oh, I'm under grace. You know, it's okay. Don't worry about this kind of thing. And it says, how shall we that are dead to sin? And he talks about this in, verses, later on. He talks about that we are dead with Christ. He said in verse 8, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him." Okay, he's saying we've died with Christ. We've accepted that. We've died to that sin. We've died to the old ways. And so there's death involved in salvation. Jesus Christ himself died upon the cross, and we are to do that as well by giving up our lives. We are dead to the old person. That old person is supposed to be gone, dead. We don't feed them. We don't provide for them. You know, if you don't provide for your body, your physical body, it will die. You know, if you lack nutrition and do not have what you need, then your body will wither and die. You know, people that have been in situations where they're in concentration camps and stuff, and we see these horrible, horrific pictures of these bodies that are deprived of nutrition, and they just start withering away. There's nothing much there anymore. Well, that's the same thing. When we get saved, that old person, that old sinful self, is supposed to be deprived. We're not to feed them. We're not to provide for them. We're supposed to provide for that new person. It says we're dead in Christ. We're supposed to give ourselves up. I know that's difficult to do. It is, because we've got those old inclinations. We've got this old environment that we're in, and you can't get away from it. I mean, it's there. You know, you can sequester yourself. You could go live out in the woods, I guess, and pretend that nobody else existed. But then you're going against what Christ said. He said to go into all the world. If we're doing that, we're going to be there with them. We're going to have those influences around us, and we can't just get away from them. They're there. And, I understand that. But we're not supposed to partake of them. You know, it's just like the thing that's there and you say you don't want it. I have a trouble with ice cream. If it's there, I'm going to eat it. So what do? We don't have it. You know, every once in a while I'll get some and I'll just have a little dish and that's it, because I can eat and eat and eat and I'll start gaining weight and I can tell that I don't feel as good. So I have to stay away from it. It's there. They manufacture it, but I'm not going to partake of it. It's the same thing with sin. It's there. It's all around us. We see it, you know, and we see people all the time that, get caught up in it. They think, okay, I can handle it. I can handle it. You can't handle it. We cannot handle it. And so he says, how are we to do this? He said, are we supposed to stay in this thing just so we can say that grace is great? No, that's not the case. We're to stay away from it. not apply it to our lives. And we are dead in Christ, and we also live with him. Okay, the old person is dead, but the new person is to live with him. We're to feed that person. How do we do that? One thing is getting in your word. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Get into it, know it, and use it to feed yourself spiritually. Other thing is listening to God's word, just like you're doing right now. If you're listening to my voice, listen to God's word being preached. You say, well, why is that important? Because that's the way God sends the message out. In Mark chapter 2, it says that Jesus was preaching to them. That's what he was doing. He was expounding upon the word. He was bringing that word to us. We need that. That's the way we're geared. That's what we need. Listen to that word. Praying. Having a relationship with the Lord. You know, talking to him on a daily basis, not just once every Sunday or, you know, whatever it is, or just at night, but on a daily basis, continually. It says we're to pray without ceasing. So to have that relationship, you know, always when we get a chance, talk to him. You know, you get in your car alone. Hey, that's okay. Start talking to the Lord. I do that a lot. You know, that's one time I'm alone. I'm not using my phone. I'll set it aside. You can turn the radio to some soft music, or if you want to, or turn it off. Talk to the Lord. I do it. I know people probably drive by me and I'm actually talking. You know, I want to have that conversation, and a conversation is talking and listening. And so have that conversation through prayer with the Lord. Continually, being around other people, that involves going to church. You do need to be in church. The Bible tells us that. It says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean? Don't forget about going and being with other people, being with Christians, and not just in church, being with Christians other places as well. You know, converse with Christians, talk to Christians. Have you an accountability partner or somebody that you can talk to and go, hey, what do you think about this? You know, or I'm feeling this way today, you know, and you know, I've got this idea, and what do you, you know, bounce it off of them, and they can do that. But someone that you can be honest with, that you know that's not going to take it to anybody else, and they can talk to you as well, and have that camaraderie and that conversation as well. And again, going to church, learning, get in a good Bible-believing church. If you find a church and it's not a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, go to another one. Find you one. I'm telling you, they're getting fewer and farther between. I've had people that have gone to different places, and they say, you know, it's difficult to find one. They'll call me up and talk to me and say this, because you've got so many churches that are catering to the old person and trying to feed them instead of feeding the new person. They're feeding that old person and saying, oh, well, it's okay. And I listened to a guy again the other day. I was reading, actually, and I've listened to him before, and he has no idea who Jesus is, I don't think. I don't even think he's saved, but he talks about, you know, what Easter is. It's about doing things for ourselves, you know, and he didn't mention Jesus one time. He said, God can resurrect old things in your life. Well, you don't need to be resurrecting old things in your life. You need to be getting rid of those and going towards the new. And it's all about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's what Easter is about, coming up. And, you know, we need to profess that, and we need to go to churches that profess that and preach that and teach it, because if we don't, we're not going to get fed. We need that. We need to bring that into our lives. So there are so many ways that we can continue to live for Christ. And he says in verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He doesn't have to continually die on that cross for us. He did it one time, folks. That's what he did. He died on the cross, and he defeated death by being resurrected. He died on the cross for our sin. He paid the debt. And then he was resurrected, living again in newness of life. And so he dies no more. He said, death hath no more dominion over him. Death can't take him. You know, he's alive today. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He came back and he appeared to so many people. He ate with them. He talked with them. You know, he was eating when he was talking to Peter, you know, and Peter denied him. And he was telling him, hey, Peter, what you up to, man? What are you doing here? Why are you coming back fishing? You know, he was telling him, you know, and he asked him some questions. He said, do you love me? You know, and he was talking to Peter to get him going again. That's what he was telling him. He said, Peter, I know you messed up, but you can get going again. I've still got something for you to do. Now, a question comes up, you know, what do we do? What do we do when we mess up? Well, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we'll confess our sin, to take it to him and go, I messed up, that he's faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what that's about, because we are going to mess up. Folks, I'm telling you right now, these people that tell you that they got saved and they never sinned again, well, they just sinned because they lied. They lied to you. It's not true. Everyone continues to sin because we're in these old bodies, but we've got somebody we can take it to. We're to repent and take it to him and go, I messed up. Even if you didn't mean to, you take it to him. Said, Lord, here it is. You know, and if it's something that you continually mess up with, you need to seek out some extra help. Get with your pastor. Get with somebody that you can counsel with and say, I need some help with this. I'm continually sliding down there. You know, and we call backsliding Christians. I think of it this way. I grew up in the fields. We had gumbo clay, and when that stuff gets wet, it's slick. And at that time, we had canals that we would put water down. And it would get slick, and if you got down in there, a lot of times it was hard to get out of that because that stuff was so slick. If you didn't have somebody up there to grab a hold of a hand and get some help out, a lot of times you just slide back down. Every time you try to do something, and you just continually slide, and that's the way sin is a lot of times. It's so slick. We need some help. We need somebody, maybe somebody that's been through it, that can say, okay, I know, and I'm going to help you out of this. And get that upper hand. We need that sometimes. And there are things in our lives that are going to continue to haunt us. Satan is real good about, with his help, his demons and stuff, to continually bring stuff up to you. You know, like, hey, don't you remember this? And you think you're so good, you know. You're going to church now, but don't you remember who you were? That's the way he works. He brings that stuff up in you, and he'll bring people around and talk to you. You know, wow, you're not like who you used to be. Well, that's the case, but you know, that's a good thing. And those things will start to suck you back down. God forbid that we get back into it. That's what he's saying. Don't continue in this, and don't tell people, oh yeah, I can do anything I want to, or don't have that attitude. I can do anything I want to. And we can't do that. And verse 15 is this. Is what then? And I love the way this is written. You know, it's presented in such a way that we can see this. It says, what then? These questions are presented to us to get us to start thinking. That's the problem we got in our society today. We don't have too many people thinking about anything. They're just doing and they're going with the latest thing they heard on television or something like that, or some star came out, you know, and a person that pretends to be somebody else for a living comes out and tells them what to do, and they go, oh yeah, I'm going to do that, instead of paying attention to the Bible. Well, here it is. What then? Okay, we're going to continue on. Shall we sin because we are not under the law? Shall we do that? Shall we say, okay, well, the law is not there? Look, the law is a schoolmaster. That's what Paul tells us. The law is a schoolmaster that lets us know what sin is. We've got that guideline. We can look at that and we go, yep, that's sin because there's the law. And we know that. We understand that. It didn't save anybody, but it pointed them towards the one that would. And that's what sin is going to do. It's going to try to push it aside and say, no, don't worry about that. He said, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? He's again, this question, are we going to continue in this sin? Are we going to do this just because we're not under the law? And we say, well, we don't have to make sacrifices. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. We don't have to continue on in that stuff. And at this time, this was really ripe in people's minds. It was still there. They understood that. And they were being taught, it's Jesus Christ. It's grace. It's the grace of God, the mercy of God that has brought Jesus, this eternal sacrifice, to us, and they would know these things. And he said, are you going to continue in sin? Are you supposed to? That's the question. Are you supposed to continue in sin because you're not under the law, but you're under grace? And again, in verse 15, two words there, and he says, God forbid. Again, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. Are you starting to get this picture? God forbid. I like that. Boy, it's pointed. It lets you know it's not, well, you know, maybe or could be. No, it's none of that. It's God forbid. No, this is not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to continue on in this. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. He says, okay, here's the deal. He said, don't you know this? Whoever you yield yourself to and obey, that's who you are a servant to. He said, either to sin or to righteousness. So you've got to make a choice. Who are you going to yield yourself to? And this is something that has to be done constantly. This is not just a one-time thing. This is not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday thing. It's not three times a week thing. It's an every day, every minute, every second, every nanosecond of the day. We have to continually yield ourselves to righteousness. Who is righteous? Jesus Christ. We have to continually yield ourselves to Him. And so you take this, you do this, you know, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to go? Read the guidebook here and follow after it. Let this word be a lamp under your feet, a light under your path, you know, always guiding you, taking you where it's wanting you to go, not where we want to go. Because if we do what we want to, we're going in the wrong direction. It's just like we'll do the opposite of what's supposed to be good for us and not pay attention to what is right for us. And we'll follow the wrong thing instead of following the right thing. And we got to have guidance. We got to have something there constantly. And we can't get away from it for a while and say, oh, it'll be okay. You know, you get completely out of God's word. You quit praying. You quit going to church and you will be in the wrong way. You say, oh, I can do it myself, you know, and I can worship God out on my deer stand or, out in the garden. I'm telling you right now, I've been told this so many times and I always ask the same question. How many times have you heard anyone praying or shouting for glory out on a deer stand? You're not going to find it. And you're not going to find anybody taking their Bible out there. Believe me, I love to deer hunt. I've been out there. I've even tried to take a book with me a time or two. And I can't hardly do it. I finally found a thing that was devotionals from a deer stand. And I can read a little bit and then I close it up and look around. Because if I just try to study, I go nuts because I want to watch the deer. Okay, so what am I doing out there? I'm hunting deer. You know, that's not the time that I'm out there just praising God. I need to get with people and I need to praise God. I need to get with His Word and dedicate myself to that, not be watching everything else. You're going out to your garden, you're worried about the weeds. You're going to pull the weeds and you're worried about your flowers coming up and you're worried about the water. You're not paying attention to God. You may be talking to Him a little bit, but you're not worshiping God. So don't give me that excuse. And if you're making that excuse right now, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't hold water and it doesn't mean anything to me. And if you told me that, I'd tell you so to your face and say, that's not true. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. We've got to get in there. We've got to focus on Him to be His servants. We've got to yield ourselves to Him. What is a servant? A servant is one that serves, and you're supposed to serve God, not Him serving you. And we got this all backward. We think, well, we went in there and God is good with me now. I just did a little bit of something. I sat in a pew, we didn't pay attention to the sermon. We didn't pay attention to anything. We didn't really go in there with the right attitude. We went in there to see what we could get out of it because we feel like God is our servant. That's not true. Jesus is not serving us. We're supposed to serve Him. He's already done for us. He gave us the eternal life as a gift if we'll accept it. We're supposed to serve Him. So He's saying, whoever you yield to, that's who you're going to serve. Now, you can serve Jesus or you can serve Satan. And if you're not serving Jesus, you're serving Satan. Now, that probably will make a lot of people mad, but I don't really care. It's true. And I'm not the one that said it. It said it right here. The Bible says you're going to serve one of two masters. You're going to serve Jesus Christ or you're going to serve Satan. If you're not serving Jesus, if you're not doing what He said, then you are serving Satan. You're doing exactly what He wants you to do. And it's easy to do. Most of the time you don't have to do much of anything. Just do nothing. And you're serving Satan. You're staying away from God. You're not doing what He told you to do. You're not following after Him. And why wouldn't you want to? If He's given you life, why wouldn't you want to? You know, if you were in a bad wreck and somebody came along and resuscitated you, and later on they told you this person is the one that did it, you'd want to go thank them, wouldn't you? You'd want to go tell them, you know. And I've seen television shows where people, you know, do that, and some of them are kind of funny, but they go overboard with trying to make up to this person. But we should want to serve this person for life, and that's what Jesus did. He found us; we were dead. He sought us out. He gave us life. And we should want to serve Him. And it amazes me, people that will say that they're a child of God, say that they're a Christian, and they have no desire to serve Jesus. Why is that? I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible lays it out pretty plainly that they weren't saved at all. Never were. They said they were. They said some things. They even kind of convinced themselves somehow that they were saved. And they even said that they were doing things in the name of Jesus. But at the end of it, Jesus says, no, you didn't. That wasn't what you were doing it for. It was all about you. Let's make sure that we've got that relationship with Him. Make sure that we've given our all to Him. And I've made this analogy time and time again, and somebody even said that they remembered it and from a sermon of a pie, you know, and we slice a pie up, and that's our life. And we slice it, and we make a little slice for our family. We make a little slice for our careers. We make a little slice for this and that and whatever, and we dole it out. And then we get a little bit for Jesus at the end of it, and we say, well, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to take a bite of it first. The whole idea is we take the pie and we give it to Jesus and say, you slice it up and you tell me how I'm supposed to do this. You know, am I supposed to dedicate myself to my family, and or am I supposed to dedicate myself over here? Am I being called to a mission field or something like that? You, Jesus, are the one that is going to have to do this for me. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give it all over to Him, every bit of it, and become His servant unto righteousness. That means we're supposed to be doing stuff. James tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but also be doers, to get out there, to use it, to do something with it. And that's what we're supposed to do. God has called us. If you're a child of God and you're listening to this right now, He has called you and He wants you to do something. He wants you to get out there. He wants you to go. He wants you to do. Stay away from sin. Make a barrier for yourself from that. If you've got a weakness, stay away from that stuff. Don't say, okay, I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to defeat it myself, because you won't do it. You won't do it. It'll defeat you. I heard an analogy one time of the chair in the middle of the room. And this guy was talking about that he would tell somebody to go and stand on this chair. And then he'd have somebody that was weaker than them go and say, now I want you to pull that person up. And this weaker person, I want you to pull them down. He said every time that person will pull them down because they've got gravity and leverage on their side. You can't pull them up. So don't think you're going to go into something that you're weak in and you're going to pull somebody up. You're not going to do it. They're going to pull you down and pull you back into it. So you can't do that. Stay away from it. Say, why don't you come with me? Go to church with me. Go to Bible study with me. You know, go to prayer meeting with me. Go to whatever it is. Meet with me and some buddies for a cup of coffee or a meal. You know, we can talk about the Lord. Don't go into those places that you know that you're weak in. You know, and try to pull them up. You're not going to do it. And people that say that they're going to do it, they end up caught in it and they get back to where that they were, and they will not do that. So we got to continue to do this. It's a continual process, and it's something that we'll never completely master. That's the reason we need the Master. We need Him all the time. We need Him all the time to help us, to get us up there and pull us where we need to go, because He's the only one worthy that can do that. He said, verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You're free from righteousness. It wasn't there. You see, when you serve sin, the righteousness is not there. If that's who you're serving, you're not going to be serving righteousness as well. He said, you're free from it because it's not going to be effective to you. In fact, you'll get blinders on it. You won't even see it anymore. You might not even see what you're doing. And somebody will come along and say, well, hey, you know, man, you're back in sin. You're living that way. And you may get mad about it, angry, you know, no, I'm not either. You know, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not even into that anymore. Well, what do you mean into it? Were you just play acting? Were you just doing some stuff? I'm going to ask you this morning, have you confessed your sin to Christ? I'm not talking about the little things. I'm talking the fact that you're a sinner. Have you gone to Him and confessed it and said, Lord, I want to make you completely over my life, master of my life. I want to give you the preeminence, as He says. I'm going to give you the number one spot. Have you done that? Have you given that over to Him? Not just saying, oh, yeah, and just going through some act. You know, it's good to be around Christian people. A lot of people want to be around Christian people. Especially if something's going on in their life, they want to be there. They want that kind of thing, and they'll hang out with them for a while, and it feels good. But then all of a sudden, they're like, "Yeah, okay, I'm not into it as much as I was." That's not salvation. Just hanging out with Christian people is not salvation. Just going to church a few times, even every time the doors open, is not salvation. The Bible says, "Confess the Lord Jesus." That means know that He is God. Make Him master of your life, giving it all over to Him, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. When you believe something in your heart, nobody can sway you from it. They can't take you away from it. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, become servants to God. When you're free from sin, become servants to God. Immerse yourself in him. Give yourself over to him. No matter what it is, no matter what you're doing, I don't care if you're going to work, you're going to school, you're driving down the road, give yourself over to him. And believe me, driving down the road, that's an opportunity to have a sinful idea in your head. But you got to pray. You got to give it back over to him. He said, become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness. The Bible talks about fruit. What is that? That's the way we conduct ourselves. That's what we yield. That's what people are going to see. You say, well, that's not important. I don't care what people think about me. The Bible talks about that it is important what people think about you. And not, you know, do they like you, but do they see that fruit? Do they see Jesus in you? They may not like you and still see Jesus in you. Sinful people that are not saved are going to look at righteous people that have been saved by the grace of God, and they're probably not going to like them because they represent something that is against what they're doing right now. And they're not going to like that, but they should see the fruit. They should be able to see that and say, okay, yeah, they're true. They're real. And that's what I hear a lot of times. People now, you know, they don't see that realness from Christians. And it's perplexing because they want to. They want to see realness of Christians in our world today, in our churches today. They want to see that real in their life, not just in them coming to church. They don't want to see them come in there in their Sunday best and just present something. They want to see it every single day. They want to see it when they meet them in the hardware store or the grocery store or at work or wherever it is. They want to see that. And when they do see it, they know there's something different about that. There's something different, and they'll see that and long for it. And the Holy Spirit will use that and pull them towards that, and that will open up an opportunity. Folks, we need to do that every time. He said, our fruit will be unto holiness. You know, I've asked people, are you holy, you know, in a church? And nobody wants to raise their hand. Well, you should be, because we've been made holy. Not these old sinful bodies. These old sinful bodies are going to be changed. The Bible tells us that. They're going to be changed from sinful to non-sinful, from dying to non-dying, and they're going to be like Christ's body after the resurrection. But right now we're in these old bodies, and I'm not talking about that, but our soul has been made holy, so it's presentable to God, so that you can say, look here, the sacrifice has been applied. Jesus Christ has been applied to this. The blood has been applied. We sing songs sometimes about the blood, and I don't hear a lot of songs about the blood anymore. People say, and I've even been told, you don't preach about that. That sounds gory. Don't say those kinds of things. But it's true. The blood has been applied, and it should be applied. And we should take that and tell people, you know, the blood has been applied to my life, and I want you to know that. It said, your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's what we're working for, because we have everlasting life. We're not working to get it. We're working because we have it. We're working because we've been made alive unto good works. We're supposed to be doing that. We're working for the Master that gave us that everlasting life. That's what we're to do. It says, in the end, everlasting life. And verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the first one of what we call the Roman roads, but it's the end of this chapter. And it's all about not living in sin anymore, because the wages of that sin is death. It said, don't live this way anymore. The wages of sin is death. You know, and if you're continually living that way, you probably don't have salvation. You say, well, you don't know that. You're exactly right. I don't know that, but I'm telling you right now, the Bible tells us that if we have it, we're going to live like it, because we're going to turn our bodies over to it. We're going to give it all over to him, because we're grateful for that one gift that has been given to us that nobody else could give except Jesus Christ our Lord. It said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Have you gotten that? It's not going up and telling everybody. It's not going and getting your name on a roll book if that's what your church does. It's not going to church every Sunday. It's giving your life to Jesus Christ because you accepted the free gift that he gave of eternal life. And he says, I'll give it to you. He paid the debt for you. Won't you accept Jesus Christ this morning? And if you say you have and you're trying to live in sin, God forbid, don't do that anymore. Get away from it. Get out of it. Turn away from it. Get you somebody to help you up out of that ditch. Get back into this Word and say, Lord, I've messed up and I need you in my life forever, not just at the time that I got saved. Folks, I want you to understand this. I want you to live the life of Christ, and I want you to know that it's a life of abundance. I'm not talking money. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and the peace that He can bring. If you accept Jesus Christ, you'll never regret it. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for supporting us. Go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to it. And if you can't hear it on the radio, you can hear us anytime you want to. May God bless you.